You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look for ways we can work together to more effectively spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today we have with us Brother Clint Morgan. He's the Director of International Missions. He's been in that position for over 10 years. Before that, though, he was a missionary, and he really worked in, I believe you've been in 42 different countries, haven't you, Brother Clint? And so it's just an honor and it's a privilege to have you to be here with us on the Better Together podcast today.
Thank you, Eddie, and always glad to be with you, man.
Really. Well, it is so good to have you, and IM is doing some wonderful things right now, and IM has a pulse, really, or has their finger on the pulse of what's happening around the world. Where is the gospel really taking off and expanding at this moment in history?
I think it's one part of it's not going to be too shocking, but then when you hear from a whole different section, it's going to, you know, people go, wow, really? But if you look at gospel, you know, moving in a global sense, it's the global south, what we refer to as global south, which would be Africa, Latin America, South America, you know, and then you get over into Asia. But even probably one of the most surprising ones right now, as you say, as of in a country, moving in a country, it's Iran.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So. A pretty phenomenal things that are going on right now in Iran. So we're thankful to hear that. We sort of, you know, get shocked. I think it was back maybe 20 years ago, there were 7,000 or 8,000, mm-hmm. you know, believers down there. Their estimates as high as, you know, 500,600.
Wow.
So lots of Christians and it's evangelical. It's
right.
Not just, you know,
right.
people. Changing religion is really an evangelical movement.
They're converting, they're mm-hmm. following Christ, and they're
yep.
following him
yep.
in a difficult situation, difficult mm-hmm. place. Now, that's different than like what's happening in the West. And when mm-hmm. we talk about the West, we're talking about Western Europe, we're talking about the mm-hmm. United States,
right.
we're talking about Canada.
Going the other way.
We're really struggling,
going the other
we?
Way, yeah. And, you know, just look at what's happening even with the movement of people.
Mm-hmm.
I was just reading just the other day, I think it was 89,000 Iranians in greater L.A. area. I mean, that's a lot of people
yes.
in from one nation outside in the United States. So these opportunities are coming. But I think our Western churches, and you gave the explanation there, but really are seeing the decline.
Mm-hmm. So right now, we see the rise of the nuns in the West, mm-hmm. the people that believe in nothing in particular. So we look at where the gospel is really taking off, and we look at where we're struggling a bit, and we think about where the gospel is taking off. Do you think that has implications for those of us in the United States and even up in Canada, in North America even?
It really, it's a question of are we willing to take on those opportunities? Are we willing to make the adjustment? There's several factors that are, you know, you think of the gospel moving in what we call the global south. There's a high elevation or moving upward of the middle class in that area too. And as that middle class grows, they're able to take more and more responsibility of sending. So you see the global south now becoming sending agency. Even And this is one, such an interesting thought if it happens. You know, the country of Uganda
mm-hmm.
Is just outgrowing its land possibility, and Christianity is growing, just exploding there. And it is predicted that by the year 2050, there'll be several million people from Uganda being, you know, taking the gospel to the world, perhaps even here to the United States. Now, and so we talk about the churches here, what do? We can see this as it's immigration, and we talk about that, and you know, it's not a political statement, but it's happening, and this we can see it as something that's just really bad and a problem we got to deal with it, or we can see it as one of the greatest opportunities in history we've ever had. How we can reach the nations without leaving, leaving our neighborhood.
Yeah. So really, Acts 1:8 in many ways has come to us. I think that's what you're alluding
yep.
to.
Absolutely.
And you also mentioned a minute ago, like so many folks from Iran in the United States, you mentioned Orange County, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of people from some of the places in the world where the gospel is taking off and some of the places in the world that are hard for us to reach. A lot of those people are right here in the United States,
yeah.
aren't they?
And some of these areas, I mean, you could say practically impossible to get the gospel to. Some places it's, you know, that we're talking about would be illegal.
Yes.
You know, for someone to convert from their religion to Christianity. But God's bringing them here.
Okay.
And, you know, they're on our doorsteps. And what are we going to do? I think it's going to be the big challenge for us.
So let's think about that a bit. If a person listening in, if they're close to a college, they're likely to have someone, student, perhaps faculty or staff from Saudi Arabia, from many parts of the Middle East, right, many parts of Africa. There are many places within the United States where there are large groups of people from other places. What can we do? How can we be effective perhaps in reaching those mm-hmm. people with the gospel?
And you know, we go back to the very basics of it. Okay, so you have a group, and a lot of times at these universities, it will be a certain area of the world, like the Arab world, that mm-hmm. will come to certain universities for engineering degrees or whatever it might be. And so it's not like they don't want to go anywhere else, but that's just has the program they're interested in. And so you really would find big blocks like of Asian people in the University of Illinois. And these are big positives to me, because then you have this sort of unique group and grouping, and great opportunity for someone who has a passion to go in there and to become involved and to reach those students. Now, how do we go about it is going to be the challenge. And it goes back to a very fundamental question of, do we really believe that that's our responsibility? And do we really see that this is an opportunity? God's just saying, okay, I'm putting it right at your doorstep. You know, so you grasp some of those fundamental things. And it takes time. It takes energy. It takes, this word is greatly overused in our world today, but it takes intentionality. Mm-hmm. You have to say, I believe in this, and I am going to be committed to this, and therefore I'm going to go do it. And that means building relationships. And I'm telling you, with college students, you know, you could think of a very simple thing like having them in your home. How do you get there? And every campus, there are opportunities there. There are generally Christian groups there, and you just come along beside of a Christian organization on campus and say, hey, can our church or can I as an individual come along and be a part of that group? Then you build a relationship. You get in there. It's generally going to be teaching English or conversational English or, you know, sometimes just having them in your home, introducing them to American culture. And when you think about, our greater holidays, for example, Thanksgiving, Christmas, even New Year's, you can think about Easter, those holidays are great opportunities to introduce the gospel to someone. You have them in your home. You talk about them. This is what our celebration is all about. Mm-hmm. And then you can definitely weave Christianity in your story right into those stories. But it takes time to build relationships. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be able to just go up there. I would almost say, let's just raise the flag now. Don't feel like you can just walk up to them and start giving them the gospel.
Yeah.
I love African proverbs, right? So, but one of my favorite, I think, is the bee doesn't, start its hive with honey. And if we think of the hive as the relationship we build with someone, the honey is the gospel you put in. But you build that relationship with them. They know that you care for them as a person, mm-hmm. not just as a number or as a foreigner. You know, you're not saying, okay, I'm going to be nice to you because you're foreigner. I'm going to be nice to you because you're a person. You
yes.
have a soul that has value.
Yeah.
And you build that relationship. Then you bring the gospel. And I tell you, I think it would be absolutely phenomenal if we realize that, you know, it's great to share the gospel, but it's great to have something to pour that gospel into. And
oh,
that
yes.
relationship is – so there are thousands of opportunities if we take them.
And you've got a missionary, I Am a NAM missionary, mm-hmm. Tyler Penn, mm-hmm. who is at the University of Illinois doing exactly that you're talking about. By the way, listeners, there is a podcast where he talks about how you can do what they're doing.
And he's very practical.
Yes.
He includes his whole family. His kids, that's an amazing family to see Tyler and his kids. And they're sitting around the table with the people from different nations, And it's just go, wow. And their kids, these are like, they become like their brothers and sisters. And, and these are their little brothers and sisters,
yeah.
or big brothers and sisters now. They're growing up. But just an amazing opportunity. And Tyler is, I would say, get him in your church if you can. Let him talk to your people and talk about how practical ways to mm-hmm. build those relationships in order to share the gospel with people.
That's great. And you're alluding to it ends up helping Tyler and his family.
Oh.
So
mm-hmm.
it's a
absolutely.
Ministry trying to win these folks to the Lord.
Right.
But his kids are going to be very good culturally, and it's helping them in many, many ways also.
Yeah. And people talk a lot about cultural, I think we've heard the expression cultural IQ,
mm-hmm.
Cultural awareness of what other people and what they believe. And to me, kids, quite often have that adventuresome spirit, and they want to know. And then, you know, just bringing people in from other nations and letting your kids talk and learn about other people, it broadens their worldview. And it really makes a difference even how your kids grow up and how they treat others as they grow up. This, a lot of this relationship building has to start with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not always, because sometimes there are kids that get there in college or something and they start meeting people from other nations and they bring them home to their parents. And all of a sudden their parents were, whoa, you know, where did this come from? You know, and especially if they're unbelievers and they get uncomfortable. And that's sad, because when you think of, I forgot the number, it's a crazy number, like 85-87% of foreigners who come here will never put their foot inside of a home.
And that's terrible. And so we're trying
to
– we need to change that.
Yeah.
So you did with Casey, you guys did a little workshop on Strangers in Our Land that people can listen to online. But in that, you talked about how there's 125,000 immigrants per year in the U.S., 29.5 million refugees in the world going somewhere. And then you also mentioned 339,800 asylum seekers in the U.S. So sometimes, you know, we hear a lot in the media about people coming across the southern border and all that. But this is people, we first talked about people that are coming to college or even coming to work here legally. But there's also people that come, asylum seekers, people that are refugees. And we just saw that a bit with what happened in Afghanistan, people being evacuated from there. So let's talk about that a little bit, about the opportunities we have for people who are coming as refugees or coming in different ways from, like, students and workers to the United States.
You know, and it's interesting because we, you know, we talk about immigrants, we talk asylum seekers, refugees. You and I, and I think I'm pretty safe in saying this, you and I, and perhaps many people, if you see someone from another country, you may recognize the fact that they're not, you know, Western, okay? But you don't know, and you cannot tell generally by looking at them if they're immigrant, refugee, or asylum seeker.
Yes.
You see? And again, I don't want to say that's not our problem, but it's really not our problem. And because we're not talking about a problem here, we're talking about an opportunity to minister to someone. So everyone we see, you know, and it's not about numbers. It's not about chalking up, you know, okay, I talked to those people, you know. It is really about caring about people and their soul and the value and what can – I've been a stranger in another land, I'm telling you. And, you know, you love it when someone reaches out to you and just shows you a little – interest and a little care and says, hey, you know, what can I do for you? How can I help you? I remember standing in line one time at the license plate, the DMV, and there was a lady there, and she was from another country, and she was really trying but really struggling understanding, you know, the conversation. And the person waiting on was very rude, very disrespectful. And, you know, I usually don't try to get involved in these things, but I just stopped her and I said, excuse me, can I help you? Well, she doesn't understand. I said, I think if we slow down, we really can't understand.
Yeah.
And sometimes just taking that moment to say, okay, I'm going to slow down and I'm going to try to understand. But when you think about people coming in, they're in a new environment. They're in a new language. They're in a new culture and often being introduced to a new religion, you know, Christianity. Many of them have never been exposed to Christianity. So, you know, it's like throwing somebody into a whole new world and then expecting them to all of a sudden know everything that they're supposed to do and do correctly. And that's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. And I think, man, what an opportunity for us to be sensitive to that, to the people around us, watch us. And if any way you can, little things you can do, and in the grocery store, you know, at the gas pump, you know, places where you see in the bank or, you know, DMV, wherever you're encountering people and you see that they have needs, you can. And I would love to know that every encounter that someone from another country coming in here, a refugee, immigrant, asylum seeker, whatever they might be, but they come in this country, I would love to know that every encounter they had with a Christian is a positive one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say, I don't know what it is about this person, but they really care about me. They, you know, they didn't have to.
Right.
And they just stepped up, and it's not about, you know, defending people's rights here. It's about treating people
well,
everywhere. And I think it would make a big impact on people.
So when you told the story about the DMV, it makes me think a bit about, you know, the Ethiopian eunuch that Philip sees, and basically the Lord says, hey, go and reach out to them. So I think what you're saying is when you see someone perhaps that you suspect is from somewhere else, you're trying to treat them well, you're trying to treat them with respect, and you're looking for opportunities to help and serve, which could lead to a relationship which could lead to Christ.
Mm-hmm. And I just wish everyone could have a cross-cultural experience.
Uh-huh. You know? Absolutely.
I mean,
yes.
if you could travel overseas and, I mean, really not know anyone.
Not know the language.
And then you got to think, Okay, I'm going to put you out here on the street right here. You're going to get off the plane or whatever, and you're going to get whatever convenient way you can to go wherever you need to go. And you don't know any of these things. And so you realize that the people are just such and so great, so many mm-hmm. needs that are out there.
Yeah.
You know, we have in our environment, I mean, in our neighborhood, we have met, and I'm talking about, you know, had conversations with people from at least 8 different nations.
Wow.
You know.
So there's opportunities.
I mean, it's there.
And depending upon where someone would live that's listening to this, they probably have more opportunities than other people in other places in the world.
Yeah. And there's some, you know, that are and this is – I don't want anyone to feel like we're in any way we're talking about bad about a neighborhood that just happens not to have any, you know, foreigners in there, you know, foreign-born people. That's not a sin. I don't think
– No.
But – if they're there and they're in your community and they're in your city and you encounter them, as a believer, just think, I want that encounter to be a good encounter.
Yeah.
And because you think about some of the negative feelings that people have about foreigners, it's because that first encounter was a negative encounter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that sort of locks in, well, you know, they're out, they do this or they do that. And, you know, it's not true. I mean, they're bad apples on every tree, you know.
Yeah.
So, but how do we... But I would say, I would encourage people to pray about this too, mm-hmm. opportunities as you go out. Say, God, if there's someone that's, you know, here and they're a stranger in our land and they need help, help me to be sensitive to that, to see that, and to do what I can right there on the spot. Just sometimes it's pushing a grocery cart, helping people, you know, carry some bags. You know, I've done that at the grocery store.
Yeah.
See someone, they're just struggling, say, may I help you please? You know, and people look at you like, oh, you know, and, you know, I'm not going to run off with the groceries. Obviously, I'm not going anywhere very fast. So,
yeah. You
know, but you understand what I'm saying. But it's just little things you can do. And it's like seed planting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's another proverb, if you don't mind, mm-hmm. Chinese proverb, though. It says you can count the number of seeds in an apple, but you cannot count the number of apples in a seed.
Mm.
And I think, you know, mm-hmm. if I'm planting seed, and that's what I want to do is plant a seed, a positive seed about, hey, I met this guy or I met this lady, I met these people. They were so nice. And then eventually it follows around and they see a lot of nice people and they go, well, what is it about these people that are different than other people?
Mm-hmm.
But when Christians act just like the world, and sometimes, and let's really be honest, sometimes people who are unbelievers treat foreigners a lot better than Christians do.
Mm-hmm.
And that...
Oh, that's
hard. A serious problem.
Yeah.
That's a serious problem.
Yeah. So that's what we definitely are trying to not let that be said of us.
Mm-hmm.
And as we think of it, you've given us a lot individually. So I'm alert to my environment. I'm alert if I'm in a school setting or work mm-hmm. setting. You gave us some also, I think, about churches. Churches could have relationships like with college students and that kind of setting. Can you think of other things that maybe, let's say a church has a pocket of people from another place in the world, or that a church could minister to them, or maybe even an association of churches could reach a particular people group mm-hmm. that's moved into their particular area?
And I think it starts, number one, with awareness, knowing mm-hmm. that they're there, and then all of a sudden you realize whether it's Hispanic or whether it's Asian or whether it's Middle East, but a lot of people, foreigners, and we know this is true too, wherever you go, there's that tendency to pull together. You know what I mean? You're going to
mm-hmm.
find that. And so a lot of times you'll find pockets in a neighborhood. And I would say, number one, awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, that and this is where leadership has to play a strategic role, where the pastor says, we have people from this country, like here in Nashville, Tennessee, a lot of Kurdish people.
Yes. You know,
so, okay, we have a large group of Kurdish people that have moved into our neighborhood. What can we do to help them feel welcome into our neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that means just going over, helping them. Maybe they're cleaning their yard up. We have a neighbor who's cutting down a lot of bushes or, something. Hey, can I help pull the bushes out? So awareness and then that leadership, lead the people and say, okay, let's sit down. Let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. And you're going to find people who are going to be very, very keen to it. You're going to find people who are going to be very cautious. Build on those people who are keen, mm-hmm. That really want to do something. If it's one, don't say, oh, man, we got 150 people in our church and only one. Take that one.
Yeah.
Take that one or two or five or whatever it is and say, okay, let's talk about how can we do this. How can you minister to them without them feeling like you're just being nice in order to
win them to
Christ? Yeah, to win them Christ. Now, ultimately, we do want to win them Christ. But will we be nice even if they don't come to accept mm-hmm. Christ?
Sometimes they want to see that, don't they?
Yeah, and it may – I'm talking – we have neighbors that we've been friends with now 10 years.
Yeah.
And have been able to share the gospel with them. And interestingly enough, when my wife was real sick and she couldn't cook, they cooked for us. They brought us one or two meals. And so I'm thinking, what a wonderful picture of that, we do things for them. They do things for us. So we're building a relationship. And it's not one-sided. I'm doing everything for you.
Yeah.
So trying to, be aware and just get the leadership to talk about it. Bring those that are interested together. Say it publicly. We have a group, from this country that have moved into our neighborhood. How can we make them feel a part of this community, first mm-hmm. of all? This mm-hmm. is a social structure, yes. And then you say, okay, as we are doing this, we're ministering to their needs. I love the passage in Acts chapter 26, verses 18. And when Paul says, God called him. Jesus speaking to him through the light says, I've called you to be a minister and a witness. Mm-hmm. I love those two words.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're key words.
Yes.
So how can we minister to their needs? And then we share our faith with them.
That's
how
good.
Can we build that nest? And then put the honey in. And I think people will be surprised in the ways that, if you don't know someone, they're not going to tell you what their needs are. You walk up to them, what do you need? What do you mean what I need? It's none of your business what mm-hmm. I need. But if you build a relationship, they start talking to you about their life. Well, my children don't know, I really want my kids to go to school. Okay, let's help them get into school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where grocery stores, I don't know where to find, stuff that's proper,
Yes.
Okay, I can help you find that.
Help them out.
We can find ourselves answering some pretty interesting life questions. But once they know that you're going to help them here on the practical side, then you can move into things that are more deep, about
right.
your life and joys and sorrows that are going on. But I do believe I would just say, if I would take a banner and I take it to our pastors, I'd say, challenge your people to be ministers and witnesses.
That's good.
Ministers and witnesses.
Yeah.
And look for ways to minister, and you will find ways to witness.
There you go. And you're listening, you're thinking, now, how do we do this? Well, we've been focusing on reaching people, reaching our community in this decade, training people in the gospel, and giving of ourselves. And so there's all kinds of resources that people can find under Reach, Train, and Give mm-hmm. that they can utilize. I'll also say, if you're listening, we'll help you with your church. You can do a psychograph, or we would do that. We can provide you with who is in the 15-minute, we would do 5 to 15-minute radius of your church, and you'd find out how many people are Kurds. You find out a lot of things, how many single mothers you have and so forth. So you could do something like that, find out more about your community, and then target, what are some things we could do to reach some of these individuals. And with this particular population, often they're more interested in the gospel than people from the West, from the United States, who've grown up with
right.
the gospel.
Sociologically, I think, and this has been true for millennials, and it's going to be true, people who are in transition, mm-hmm. they're in transition for more than one reason.
Yeah.
And quite often they're coming from very oppressive situations where they don't have the liberties. They don't have even, and especially the liberty of, freedom of religion. And so when they come into a situation where they actually are presented with the choice, they don't know how to deal with that because
yeah.
they've not been ever been given a choice. So, those are some of the challenges. But I like that idea of 5 and 15, minutes. And then
yeah.
you go – and again, we have a lot of people who come into our countries and to into the United States and Europe also, but, from other countries, and they don't have transportation. And so – and they come from cultures where walking 5, 10, 15 minutes is nothing.
Yes.
Literally.
Yeah.
And that That's a little bit beyond our measure sometimes, you know. And you know that someone lives within an eighth of a mile of a church is going to drive to a church.
Yeah. But
for, you know, many people to walk 5 miles to church, if it's worth it, it's worth it. So discovering things like that, I think, there's a lot of good materials out there.
Yes.
And, you know, we have, again, Tyler Penn, go to him. You have Casey Jones that you're going to do a podcast with him, I believe, soon.
They'll be able to listen to it.
You know, who works with immigrants and refugees, people and students, people coming in. And these guys, I thank the Lord, and we have Tebow in Missouri.
Farron
Tebow.
So,
man, they have lots fantastic,
of options. Yes,
fantastic ministry. And there's a pastor who is doing it in a very practical way. You know, call him up and say, "Hey, you know,
help me out with this.
Help me out. Yeah. Tell me what you're doing, because you're obviously touching the nations."
And they'll help you.
Oh, they will help you.
They'll do what they can to help you out. So. Yeah. And if you're trying to figure out, you know, where do I start, give us a call. Send us an email at questions@nafwb.org, and we'll point you to some of these resources, to some of these folks that could help, because we really need to do what we can to fulfill the mission that God has put us here at this particular point in history. Yeah. Thank you for joining us today, Brother Clint.
Thank you. Always enjoyed. I enjoy this. I think it's a very relevant discussion and subject. And we really, as Free Will Baptist, I hope we can be one of the leaders in Christianity. Really, leaders in Christianity, and doing this in a proper way. A lot of scriptures talk about it. Point us and gives us the instructions and just live in obedience.
There you go. Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us. And hey, thank you, listeners, for listening in today. We encourage you to take this podcast, share it, like it on Facebook or wherever you're viewing or listening to it. Get the information out, because every little bit counts. And please remember, we truly are better when we work together to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.